This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sexual relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, today we are talking about the pill. This is a question that a listener sent in to us on our anonymous Google form, which they probably found the link to in the bio of an episode like this or our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Wonderful. Let's waste no time in getting to this question.
Righto.
Hi, they say. Oh. I love the podcast.
Yay. Wow.
My question is surrounding the pill. I am on the mini pill, which means I don't ever have a break on it. So I haven't had a period in years. I'm 22 and I went on the pill at around 15. I have two levels to this question. One being, is it going to affect my fertility long term if I am constantly taking the pill? And secondly, I have heard some rumours that when you stop taking your pill, your hormones might change so much that you're no longer attracted to your partner, which I find weird, but kind of scary too. Is there a truth behind this? Thank you, smiley face. Woman, 22, straight.
No.
Oh. Is that the second part of the question?
Yeah, all of it, really. The having a break is often because people like to know that they're still functioning. The longer you're on the pill, sometimes it's more likely that it'll take a while for your hormones to get back to normal. But you can just keep on taking it. I mean, that seems to be the view. Mm. Personally, if I were on the mini pill, I would want some breakthrough bleeding. It makes you feel normal. It's kind of reassuring to do that. And I think that's why a lot of people do.
Yeah, I've heard of friends and stuff who just have breaks on the pill just to be like, what am I like now off this?
Yeah.
I've had it since I was 15 or 16 for whatever reason. Mm. And now it's been years and years later. And I just want to see, because you hear all this stuff about the hormones and how it can make you crazy and all that sort of stuff. You know, stuff.
Yeah, but if you're not going crazy, then obviously...
No, then it's all fine. But they're just like, well, what am I like without these hormone changes? And some people are horrified and go straight back.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes people don't ovulate for a while after being on hormonal contraceptives. Mm. So, you know, you want to stop and use another kind of contraception for a while before you try to get pregnant. It won't change your hormones so much that you don't fancy your partner anymore.
No.
But if you're concerned, I would talk to your sexual health clinic, you know, whoever prescribes the pill for you. Go and have a chat about it and see what the current thinking is, because there may be research that I've missed, but I don't think people generally worry too much. I mean, there are some people that really do not get on with hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have
exactly.
A big effect on them, and other people are, you know, fine.
And it won't make you not fancy your partner.
But it won't make you not fancy your partner.
I think that's a really quite specific side effect that I don't think is possible.
Mm-hmm.
No. So your partner can sleep easy after hearing this. Okay, how about this then? Hello, Mum. Hello, Diggs. Boy, do I have a story for you. I don't know if it's a question that needs advice, but I thought it'd be nice to hear what Kate thinks. So, I met a seemingly sweet guy on an app, and we'd been talking for about a month consistently. Then I woke up one morning to find myself blocked everywhere and unmatched. We still spoke all day the day before, so it's pretty wild to me. What do you guys think? 28, bisexual.
Fuck boy.
Yeah, fuck boy. Mm. Total fuck boy.
Really bad behavior. Ghosting, I think ghosting is horrible behavior. Shouldn't be allowed. You know, you've had a lucky escape. Don't let him back if he turns up.
it's unfortunate. If you've been talking on apps and stuff for a month, am I going to come across mean here when I say that that's like, it's not quite...
Well, you're not married, but it's still bad behaviour. You could say to somebody, oh, well, I'm not sure this is working out. But this is somebody who's talked to you all day and now is now talking to someone else all day, presumably, or is bored or is doing something else. And then they're keeping their options open by ghosting you so they can rock up all of a sudden and say, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah. So that sounds a bit like what some people call it orbital ghosting. Some people call it sort of breadcrumbing, where it's like, They do ghost you. Like you have that like spurt at the beginning, and like if when you try and reach out to them, they give like really short answers, and they sort of so they basically ghosted. But then when they want to, they'll suddenly pop back up again, give you loads of attention, or text you late at night and be like, "Oh, what are you doing tonight?" And then when you're together, they're like really into it, and then they'll just completely withdraw again, and they're just keeping you on their little hook. And they can just hook you in whenever they want. So definitely be careful of that. I wonder though, okay, so I agree with you, and I do think it's bad. And we did an episode on ghosting. And we also said, you know, to ghosters, you know, rather than ghost, because it will be some level of anxiety that has made you do this because you're too scared to actually say what you feel and end it properly if you want to end it or whatever. And this person, you guys have been talking all the time, all that sort of stuff. Maybe they did go on a date with someone else. Maybe they have met someone else, but they should really do you the courtesy of telling you that sort of thing. On the other hand, well, not on the other hand, but what I would say as well is, if this is a relationship with this person where you guys have spoken a lot online for a month, but you've never actually met each other, I would just always say in those sorts of scenarios, be careful about how much you invest in the other person. If I can be mean for a second, Mum, get the penguin, because I'm about to say something which maybe is quite mean, and the penguin may have to adjudicate on this, but I do think that until you meet someone in person, they owe you less and you owe them less. I don't think it's the same as being ghosted by someone that you've actually met up with. I know you'll be upset, but it's just not the same. It's not as bad. What does the penguin think of that?
Agrees.
Really?
Mm.
Which is, I mean, I love this listener. They've messaged in something really sweet and nice. And maybe I'm misunderstanding it. Maybe they have met them. But I just think, to protect yourself, don't get too invested in people that you have this sort of parasocial relationship where you've never actually met them before.
Yeah, and be careful about self-disclosure, because it can feel like a very intimate relationship when you're chatting to somebody online, but actually it's not. And you can tell them way more than you really want to. And the other thing is, do not send them pictures of parts of your body.
Yeah, and if you really have to and you really want to, do not
put your face in it.
Do not put your face in it.
Or tattoos, you know, or anything distinguishing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I don't know. I feel mean, but, and this isn't to say that you've done anything wrong. I think you've clearly just been a lovely person. You've been yourself and you've put yourself out there. And I think that should be commended. But there are people out there who, this is the kind of perfect scenario. This is kind of one of the problems with online dating, is that they can conduct themselves in a manner this person is a dick. For example, if you had met through friends at a party or something, they would never treat you this way, because they would have people around them that would hold them accountable. They'd be like, what did you do to that lovely listener of the RSE pod? What did you do to them? Don't do that again. They'd be held to account. But online dating for a certain section of people means that they can come in. Some of them aren't even after Snapchat sex or cyber sex and stuff. I mean, a lot of them are. And then they can ghost you after that. But some of them are just after the sort of simulation of a relationship, or the simulation of just having someone there to talk to all day, every day. And the loveliness of, you know, coming home to someone to text and flirt with and just like, be happy with and leech the good vibes from, and then just leave when they feel like it, when they've got everything gone. It sounds terrible, but they're out there.
You know a lot about this.
What? What do you mean?
But
it's true though. It's true.
Good advice.
And it's particularly, I mean, when you're 28, it's a bit old, but definitely when you're younger, people do that shit all the time. So be careful of that sort of thing.
Yeah, and there's scammers too. You just have to be, really have to watch it.
Yeah.
It's understandable. Someone's at a loose end for a day, so they chat to you all day long.
Mm.
And then they go, oh, I've got to go to work now, so I'll just block them in case they bother me at work.
Yeah, or something like that. Fuck this person, because this is someone who very much has chatted to you loads, you got invested in them, and they've said all the right things and stuff, but then they've just dropped you at the drop of a hat. This is a blessing that they have ghosted you, because you've seen what they're truly like, and they don't have the bravery to tell you why they don't want to speak to you anymore and why they're ending it. And you don't want to be with that kind of person anyway. So block, delete, move on.
Exactly.
Okay, wonderful. How about this question? Is being turned on by master/slave or BDSM type porn a trauma response from something earlier on in life, or is it just what you're into? And then does the position you see yourself in, i.e. the master or the slave, telling of what kind of trauma you're working through? Man, gay, 24.
Yes. No.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I can repeat the question.
So no. So it might be. Or it might not be. I mean, it's known that people enact things that have been difficult for them. And sex is a great way to enact something and to take control of it. So sometimes people like rough sex. This is not BDSM rough sex. Yeah. If they've been in a situation where rough sex was a thing and they didn't like it, They might then get really into it. So it's a kind of a conversion reaction where they convince themselves they like rough sex. But it's a way of feeling that they're in control, because it's a situation that they didn't feel in control of. Now, trauma definitely can be a reason that people like BDSM. And one of the reasons people like BDSM is an enactment. It might be that. It might be that you really, really want to feel something intense because you feel numbed out most of the time. So you want something intense. You're looking for the care that comes with this. If you're the slave type of person, you're looking to feel empowered, maybe, if that is not your experience. All of those things could be true. Or you could just have seen it on porn and think, hey, that looks cool and fancy doing it. There is nothing, you should not be pathologizing anybody for enjoying BDSM, enjoying kink, because what you're doing is what we all do. And just because it happens to be in a sexual way, then that doesn't mean, you know, it's any more unusual than anything else. It's just a way. The only thing I would say is, of course, do it properly, safe words, you know, make sure that you've got consent, know the story before you start, all of that stuff. Well, you know all that already. But don't pathologize yourself, which is what it sounds like this person is doing.
What, you sit there and wonder, now how fucked up am I?
That I do this.
It's like, stop that. And it could just be something fun. And let's say it isn't. Well, you know, it sounds like you're enjoying it anyway.
But
and you're working through it.
Enacting, doing something that makes you feel better, that's normal. That's normal. Good regulation. That's healthy.
Yeah. So this is good.
Yeah.
So either way, it's a good thing. It's like either it's just, you know, something I enjoy for no real reason, or it's something that I'm working through and enjoying working through. Brilliant.
Yeah, I really don't think you need to, you know, you need to go into it too deeply.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Great. Perfect. We need to do a full episode on kinks and stuff as well, because I'm often asked that. They're like, where did kinks come from? And so there is that school of thought, isn't it, where it's like, oh, you were just in childhood or something, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know.
Or the right place at the right time.
Exactly. And or you know, there's all stuff about feet having some part of your brain
things become sexualized. You know, sometimes things can become sexualized, which are comforting, ordinary, everyday things. And when I said in the right place at the right time, I didn't mean children are queuing up for sex at all. Obviously, but things from your past can become sexualized because they were comforting in the past, and so you transfer them into what is, after all, a scary situation. And, you know, it becomes part of your repertoire. Well, that's all right.
So then with feet, how would that happen? What do you mean comforting? It's like...
Well, I mean, let's think about your routine. You may have had a teacher, a nanny, a mum who would dangle you on their stockinged feet when you were little. Yeah. And then you quite like, and you find yourself being quite attracted to feet. As an adult, because it reminds you of that fun, comforting...
Whether you think of that, whether you know, whether you remember that or not. Yeah. It's like, yeah. You don't even remember that. You don't even think about that.
Not at all.
It's subconscious.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't make the connection. The thing is that things that are play as well are gonna come up in your memory because what you're doing is play. Sex is play.
Mm.
So it's not really surprising that those connections get made. And you have to think about how memories happen. Memories are not in little discrete parcels. They're scattered all over the place so that connections are made with other things as well. So that, for instance, if you remember that you used to go to the seaside in the summer and you always had fish and chips at the seaside, you may remember you always had sausage and chips at the seaside. Or somebody else may say, you're misremembering that. It wasn't fish, it was sausage. And, because the chips memory attaches itself to other memories where there are chips, and they all come up together, and you get the wrong bits sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I get that.
Yeah, so that can happen.
Yeah, I think I get that. And then with sex, then what would the chips be?
What?
I'm trying to bring this back to sex. What would the chips be?
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about a memory. The chips.
I can work out what the sausage is.
The chip. Oh, dear.
You were talking about memories in general.
That was just an example of a memory.
Right, where there is
an association with something else.
I know. I'm trying to put you under pressure.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
is it working?
No. So if you're talking about a stockinged foot, then it's a body part, isn't it? So there you are, engaging with body parts. And why wouldn't your brain bring up a memory of a body part? Instead of thinking, because it's a sexualized situation, oh, that was fun when I used to dangle on my mum's foot. You think, oh, I really fancy feet or stockings or something. And you're not thinking about your mum's foot. You're just thinking feet, stockings.
But again, not because you don't know these things, because it's subconscious. It's just like, you just don't think about it too much. If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Great.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, does it? So long as it's fun.
Yeah, fine. And just like for this person. Okay, amazing. Let's have a break and then come back with a couple more questions.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is. But that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. Mum, I wanted to start with this. It's not quite a question. But someone brought this up on the anonymous Google form, so I thought I'd read it out. Here we go.
Okay.
It's actually addressed to me. Diggs, on the episode, The Three Reasons You're Attracted to Someone, you said, is this why, like, the meme, don't be mean to me, I'll come, is so big? Nervous laughter. Is it? Kate replies in a befuddled and alarmed tone, stuttering. Yeah, you know, it's like, don't be horrible to me or I'll love it, basically. And then you swiftly brush this correspondence under the rug and move on. I, however, would not like to move on. I think in the spirit of fair and just journalism, this moment should be readdressed on air with a retrospective fact check. Like Kate, I too was unfamiliar with the meme, and in the nature of not wanting to be gaslit by the show, I conducted my own research and asked a cross-section of friends, family and colleagues if they had happened across the meme. The answer from each was a stern no, followed by a look of mild disgust, not dissimilar to your own co-host's reaction. So Diggs, here's the thing. Social media algorithms are curated based on the user's likes, wants and needs. The meme is so big in fact that you thought it was intergenerational common knowledge, precisely because it caters to your own personal algorithmic desires. And listen, I'm not here to pass judgment on your social feed. I just wanted to let the good listeners of the RSC pod know that this meme is not in fact widely known, and it is indeed very niche. Best regards. P.S. I hope the stern tone of this email doesn't make you come.
I love it. Oh my goodness.
So good. So
what a great
good
person. Please send us a picture of your lunch.
Yeah, we want to get you on the pod for that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, bloody hell, I stand corrected. Absolutely.
Yeah, and oh my goodness, they've gone above and beyond, haven't they?
They really have.
Well
they,
done.
Yeah, yeah, fair play. Yeah. Absolute cracking ending as well. Amazing. Amazing. Yes, I apologise for the horrible algorithm I clearly have. I think that perhaps this is what happens when you have a sex podcast. Your algorithm is going to show you sexy stuff.
Well, hang on a minute. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, what are you doing? You're digging me a deeper hole here.
Yeah.
You're meant to be on my side, or are you on this person's side?
I think so.
Oh, no. It was such a well-worded email, to be fair. It was so
great,
good,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. So, you know, if you ever want to take us to task like that. That was fantastic. All right, here we go. Another question for us all. I am a 29-year-old straight man. I never had a fully committed relationship, so sex has always been for me an on or off situation. Sometimes I found a partner with whom we regularly met during a few weeks, sometimes just one night stands, etc. But it could sometimes happen weeks or even months in between two sexual encounters. I've always felt my sex performances to be quite quick. I'd say that 80% of the time I can be done rather quickly, a few minutes, and sometimes inexplicably last longer. Of course, I know that PIV is not the only way to have sex, so I tried to develop my competences in oral sex and so on. But even with that, I often felt a bit of disappointment with some partners. I feel that as I never had a long committed relationship with the regular sex life, I never was able to build on this and kind of train myself, so to speak. Any advice for people like me? Thanks for the pod, listening from France.
France, mon Dieu.
Mon Dieu.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
My Hello. God.
My God. Oh, right. Nice.
I'm just wondering what the question is.
Well.
So is this person concerned about early ejaculation?
Maybe a bit of that. I've always felt my sex performances to be quite quick.
I mean, the thing is, you haven't had the chance for sex to settle down. This has been coming up quite a bit in the questions over the past few episodes, that people are not feeling comfortable in their sexual relationships. And I think that's true of a lot of people a lot of the time, even when they are in committed relationships. It takes a while and a lot of openness and effort, really, to get to know one another well. I mean, if the relationship's going to be brief, you're not going to make that effort, I guess. If you know it's going to be brief, it's never going to happen. And if you're anxious as well, because it's a new relationship or a casual relationship, or you're worried about coming too soon or something, you're going to do that. You're going to do exactly that. So yes, it's great that you're interested in oral sex and other things. But I mean, you know, talk to your partner about what they'd like.
Yeah.
But don't expect it to be brilliant swinging from the chandeliers the first time, because it's very, very unlikely to be.
Yeah. I mean, and so many people listening to this will be thinking about their first time with a new partner, and they'll think, yeah, it wasn't like the most mind-blowing sex in the world. My interpretation of the question is, I've never had a fully committed relationship. Sex has always been on and off. And then they go on to say about basically how they don't think that they've performed well with oral sex, and they've maybe come too quickly sometimes or taken too long to come. Basically, I think what they're saying is like, oh, how do I get better with sex if I'm not having it regularly? I've tried everything. Which sounds to me like someone who's just really anxious about their performance.
Well, yeah, and it shouldn't be a bloody performance, should it?
No,
it should be a pleasant experience. And, having lots of sex with lots of different people isn't necessarily going to make you a good lover. Being a good lover is being responsive to the person you're with. And also, one of the real qualities and hallmarks of a good lover is someone who can tell the other person what they like and what they want.
Yeah, and it's a two-way street.
It is a two-way street, absolutely. Yeah. You're not making love to yourself, you're making love to someone else. And they're all different. And people's bodies are different. So what turns one person on will not turn the other one on. And also, what turns someone on one moment won't the next moment. So you have to be responsive and keep checking in with people. And, somebody might get bored halfway through or tired or... have climaxed and, feel, actually, I'm a bit sensitive now, don't touch me. All of those things can happen. That's the experience that you need. You need to know that we're all different. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with having occasional sex. But when, one day you'll have it more often, you'll be in a relationship with somebody where you get to know their body well.
That's it. And that, honestly... That takes longer than you think, but also it will get to a point where you'll go, oh wow, that was the best sex we ever had, because we fully learned our bodies now. And then a month later you'll be like, wow, that was the best sex we ever had. And then you're a month, that sort of thing. So I do think a committed relationship is certainly something to think about. Try and remove the idea of a performance out of your brain. Things are a two-way street. Try and communicate with your partner. Get them to tell you what they like, and you can also tell them what you like, and get back to that idea of exploring and having a good time, rather than what it sounds like you're doing, being like, I had some oral sex, I looked up, didn't produce any results, so I got into PIV sex. Oh dear, too quick. Or God, too long. What the hell?
The thing is that this person is saying, oh, I only last a few minutes. A few minutes is all most people last. How long do you want to last?
Exactly.
I mean, people that are having a big sesh, they have a bit of PIV, then they do something else, then maybe they have a cup of tea or a glass of wine, then they have a bit more PIV, then they have a bit more fiddling around, and they're edging, and they're having a really great time. That's how people keep themselves going for longer, not by thrusting continuously for half an hour. That's just painful.
Some people on our Instagram account, when we've put up stuff about ejaculation stuff, they've been like, I pump away for like 5 to 8 hours. You're like, what are you talking about? Firstly, no, you don't. And secondly, can you imagine, as a woman, how horrible that would be? How horrible that would be? Can you imagine as a woman?
I can imagine as a woman, funnily enough, yes.
And honestly, am I even allowed to say this? The people that comment this, their profile pictures are always the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I don't think you can say that, actually.
No, it will be like a picture of an egg or a sports car. and you're like...
Can you imagine the egg pumping away?
Well, it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like the idea of this sex god who's going for 5 to 8 hours...
Well,
they might
be having a session that lasts 5 hours, though. I think that's I
urge you to go back and look at some of those messages.
Oh, I'm not reading
again.
That stuff, that nonsense. I mean, five hours, you would be so bruised. Would be black and blue.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I don't know if an Aston Martin DB5 is going to be pumping away. We've answered that question, right? And best of luck to you. You sound like a very sweet, sweet guy.
Yes.
So,
I bet he doesn't want to be called sweet. He wants to be called a sex god.
You sound like a very fucking hard dude. You sound like a fucking stud.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you've described really nicely is what it's like to be a human.
Go on.
Well, no, I mean, all the doubts and the disappointment and stuff. It's what we all go through. Don't beat yourself up for being normal.
I thought you were talking about me then. I thought you were being like, well done, Diggory, for describing what it's in a really nice way, what it's like to be human.
Sorry, mate,
that's fine. Just looking for some parental love. Appreciation.
Sorry, do the heart thing. Do the heart thing.
Stop making me do the heart thing, because no one knows what the heart thing is.
Well, they will if they watch us on Facebook.
We're not on Facebook.
Oh, no, sorry.
You don't even know what we're on.
The YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Bloody hell.
Oh, God.
All right, no one's on Facebook except for me and you. Let's have one final question. Ooh, I love this question. We've got another one. This question is from Spotify. This is from Asp.
Not Facebook.
Not Facebook. This is from Asp3C on Spotify. Asp. And they say, is it okay or normal to like or imagine sexual images of my favourite show character? I love your podcast.
Oh,
thumbs up.
So is their favourite show character Diggs?
Diggs?
Yeah.
Why would it be me?
Well, because it says, I love your podcast.
I love your podcast. I love your show. It could be you.
No, they wrote to you.
No, our Spotify's us.
Oh, right. I thought it was you.
Yeah.
Oh, careful. Okay. Well, yes, of course it is.
Yeah, if it's us, then yes. Anyone else? Absolutely not.
No, but of course it is. You know, we've heard today, we've heard last time as well, how people feel very self-conscious, very concerned about performance when they're having sex. Sometimes the only way to get you over the edge is to fantasize. Why wouldn't you?
We've had people on this podcast say that they fantasize about being like a maiden, a fair maiden, and that their partner's a knight rescuing them from a tower. People can fantasize about all sorts of stuff. And we've talked on this podcast as well about slash porn, which tell us what that is, because you were actually the one that introduced me to that. Not with anything specific.
Really?
You didn't
Careful
send me
how
didn't
you
go,
say that.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't say, oh, read this. This is class.
No, it's where you put unlikely characters together. So you might take Batman and Little Bo Peep or something like that and put them together.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Right,
oh, my word.
Theresa
That's
May. And oh. Clark Kent.
Yeah, you know. Okay. You've ruined it, but it was good. We were doing well.
And, you know, and some people like, you know, cosplay. They like dressing up as the characters as well. And that's really, I mean, that's a thing.
That's,
you know,
a proper
that people
thing.
Do. So if you're asking this question, go get into cosplay. I mean, that's obviously you've got to dress up. That's in real life you're dressing up. Mm. So it's not just imagining. But people do cartoons of the characters, slash characters and things like that, and the characters they're imagining. I mean, it's mainstream.
Well, listen, everyone, we now have the ability to ask you questions on Spotify. So tell us which show character you would like to see.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, actually, maybe we could do the slash fiction thing. Who would you like to see together? We've talked about this before in the podcast, but who would you like to put together?
Yeah.
We've got Batman and Little Bo Peep.
Yeah, she might be a bit young for Batman. What about Lex Luthor?
I don't think so. Okay, a lot of superheroes here we've got.
And Rachel Reeves.
Rachel Reeves, who's that?
Oh, God. Shadow Chancellor. How about Lex Luthor and Suella Braverman?
So why are they so political, all of these? What's that all about? Every episode we're talking about politics.
Okay. Yeah. Donald Trump. You're Donald Trump and Scooby-Doo.
Stop this. Do you know what? I bet that the most slash fiction out there is Sherlock Holmes and Doctor Who.
Yes.
I bet that's the biggest
slash fiction. Which doctor?
David Tennant and Benedict Cumberbatch, I bet. Just those two getting
David Tennant and Benedict Cumberbatch. Mm.
Yeah. I bet you there's loads of writing up on that.
Do
everywhere.
You reckon?
Probably.
Oh.
And you know what? I bet it's Asp3C on Spotify who's writing it all.
Yeah.
But honestly, you know, as long as you're not hurting anyone, as long as it's all good fun, enjoy it, man. Enjoy it.
Or infringing copyright.
Yes. Always. If it's politics or legalities, mum is all over it on this podcast. And you're absolutely right. Do not infringe copyright, please. Thank God you got that in there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Otherwise the lawyers would be on this poor person's ass.
Other politicians are available.
What does that even mean? Lawyers on their ass. Maybe that's part of the slash fiction. Anyway, listen, we're getting tangled up in this again. Thank you so much again for joining us, everyone. Thank you so much for your questions. Keep sending those in. You know where to send them. We're at the RSC Pod everywhere on the socials. Guys, we're loving it. We're loving you. Make sure you're following us. Make sure you're subscribed. And we'll see you next time for some more real sex education.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.